As a guilt-ridden American, I can't quite comprehend how to respond without guilt when I've caused harm, even inadvertently. Could you walk through the non-guilt-oriented mental process of a person who has harmed or caused inconvenience to someone else? I'm thinking of the monk who falsely accused Sariputta. If that were me, I would practically have to leave the Sangha out of embarrassment and shame. Which is really answered in the way that the Buddha responded when that monk made his confession. So, I falsely accused Sariputta, and I asked for forgiveness. And that in itself, the Buddha said, it's recognizing one's faults as faults. One's unskillful action as unskillful action, and wishing to make amends, that is growth in the noble one's dhamma and discipline. And so that in itself is the difference. It's in recognizing that we all make mistakes, we all miss our shot, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, and we have the opportunity to reestablish ourselves in that which is skillful, that which is appropriate, in accordance with truth. And nobody's really exempt. There's a difference between remorse in the sense of, I really missed my shot on that, and saying, well, that was unskillful, because it is that is an impetus to change. It's sort of like the in Pali, there's a word called hiri and a hiri otapa. Hiri is a sense of a conscience, or a sense of a kind of embarrassment toward wrongdoing, and otapa is like a fear of wrongdoing. And it's very interesting when you say that in English, because that sense of, because it was actually early translators used to call it shame and fear, shame of wrongdoing, fear of wrongdoing. And what comes up in our mind is pretty heavy negative states, or associations. Whereas in the Pali language and by the way that mental states are structured, then those are extremely wholesome mental state. The mind is very wholesome. It's called in Pali, it's called kusala. And so that they, and intrinsic to a kusala or a wholesome mental state is a sense of well-being. A sense of well-being, a sense of clarity, a sense of discernment that's there, and so that having the clarity to recognize that's really unbecoming of what say it's not in accord with how I really want to be. So it'd be better for me to step back from that. rather than, oh my God, I did this. What are people going to think of me? I can't show my face anywhere anymore. And it's but because that goes spins around with me, sort of me and the problems I've created, me and my awfulness, and that in itself is the problem. The actual recognition of that which is unskillful, it has a very wholesome, protective quality to it, and also in the Pali language, when they describe that quality of conscience or shame toward wrongdoing, said the underlying state of the mind is one of respect for oneself, in the sense that one respects oneself, therefore one does not want to do something which would be inappropriate or not in accord with one's values and one's intentions, one's sort of inner deep intentions. And the otapa, the fear of wrongdoing, arises out of respect for others. Because one recognizes, as human beings, we're in the same boat of being subject to birth, aging, sickness, death. We have a mixture of wholesome and unwholesome qualities, and there's a fundamental respect for other beings. So therefore, one doesn't want to harm anybody else either. It's a quality of respect that underlies it. So that as one tunes into that, then a quality of guilt is not really giving oneself due respect. It's undermining one's own wholesome qualities. So that's what a concept. That is really interesting to reflect on. And then the sense that from the Buddha's statement of the recognition of one's unskillful actions are the sort of the sign of growth in the noble one's teaching and training. It's the actions that speak louder, and they're the things that, rather than the perception of individuality, because that's what governs our our sense of who we are, is actually a perception of individuality rather than a recollection of the intentions and actions that we attend to, and something that and what do we do on a more habitual basis? What do we do? How do we make our decisions? How do our actions get? There's very few people who are Buddhist meditators whose lives are committed to stealing and dishonesty and harming and violence. And, you know, it's pretty rare. But the perception is not in accord with the actual actions. So that it's important to sort of, and the perception, of course, is driven by this sort of guilt, oftentimes. So to be able to separate that out, say, oh well, actually, yeah, I'm committed to integrity. I'm committed to that which is good. I need to really shrink back from the things that are unskillful, and then also they said, well, you know, anybody can make a mistake, miss their shot, one has the opportunity to recognize that and reestablish oneself from what is good. It's just like even the there's a time when the Buddha. There's actually several occasions, right, in the scriptures or in the Vinaya, where the Book of Discipline, where one would think, well, the Buddha really missed a shot on that, and one doesn't sort of come across, you know, the Buddha agonizing with guilt and struggling with the kind of the complications of that. It's a okay, that didn't work. Okay, we'll try it this way. And one of the things is also very helpful is an ability to recognize, okay, I really missed my shot. Asking for forgiveness, reconciliation. That's not difficult to do. It's very healing.